Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
Yesterday, the big one, Deputy Prime Minister and Finance Minister Heng Swee Keat tabling the Fortitude Budget. It's our fourth budget, $33 billion set aside to prop up the economy against the COVID-19 pandemic.
That's right. Deputy Prime Minister Heng called it a landmark package and a necessary response to an unprecedented crisis. Together with the earlier Unity, Resilience and Solidarity budgets, the government is dedicating $93 billion. That is nearly 20% of GDP.
So we've got the focus on protecting workers and trying to preserve jobs in the midst of this crisis. Here's what DPM Heng had to say.
The central focus of this budget is jobs. This budget will continue to support workers and businesses who remain affected by border closures and safe distancing measures. Given the significant changes in the global economy ahead, we will provide support to enable our businesses and workers to adapt, transform and seize new opportunities.
Deputy Prime Minister Heng Swee Keat speaking in Parliament yesterday.
Well, more than 40,000 jobs will be created as part of a $2 billion package to improve the employment situation. And meanwhile, the other main areas of support announced were digital transformation to keep the current momentum for businesses adapting and using digital tools going, and support for charities and social service agencies, which are facing falling donations at a time when their assistance is needed the most.
So what are we talking about here? The government drawing on $31 billion from past reserves to fund the measures in the latest stimulus package, with the largest sum set aside for contingencies. Well, on the line to give us some analysis on the Fortitude budget is a good friend of ours, Eugene Tan, Associate Professor of Law, Singapore Management University. Prof, good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm good. And hope you and Manisha are well.
Yes, we are doing our best to keep safe during this COVID-19 pandemic. And thank you so much for taking the time. Let's start off by getting your impression of the Fortitude budget. Any gaps you saw, perhaps, or what stood out for you?
Well, Alan, I think the continued focus on job and livelihoods is the right one. I think that's what Singaporeans are concerned about. And the Fortitude budget, I think, would fortify Singaporeans' confidence, that they're not in this pandemic alone. But I think it's also important that, at least for me, what stood out was, the massive amount. I mean, $33 billion is a whopper of a supplementary budget. But I think it's something which I liken it to, an umbrella in a rainy day. You feel better going out with an umbrella over your head. But it won't protect all the jobs, but I think it seeks to protect the worker and Singaporean society. So I think that's something which we should all take some inspiration from.
Yeah, I think that's so important, isn't it? And you mentioned confidence. Confidence is such a big part of the economic equation. Let's talk about the focus on jobs, right? So the Deputy Prime Minister Heng announcing the SG United Jobs and Skills Package. That's going to create close to 100,000 opportunities. It's quite remarkable. But do you think it'll go far enough in saving jobs and livelihoods that are at stake?
I think, the Deputy Prime Minister Heng did point out, that not every job can be safe, not every company, will be able. But what is important is that as jobs are lost, there are new jobs waiting. So this is important, right? Because you want to have a situation where people become employed, young graduates from the polytechnic or the universities or ITEs, have an opportunity to get their careers going. And so, what is important really is for the Singaporean in the transition, right, moving from one job to another, whether they're prepared to take on the discomfort, get out of their comfort zone and do something new and learn a new skill. So I think in the end, when you look at the different schemes that are available, the jobs overall package, what they seek to do is to, ensure that, even in this downturn, people have the opportunity to work, and that will enable them, to be ready for other opportunities when the economy improves. And that will happen. Right? It's a question of when.
Prof, I think we also need to look at the timing, because the JSS job support scheme is going to be rolled out for one extra month, and people will question, is it long enough? Is the duration good enough? But really, it's more of a warning, because jobs are going to change. Others are not going to come back. You better start adapting and reskilling right now.
Yes. So I think when you look at the JSS, in terms of its support, it is really not meant for companies which are on life support, if I can put it that way. And so it's really to help companies deal with the cash flow issues, the liquidity issues, challenges, you know. But if the company is not viable, you know, not solvent in months and year ahead, then I don't think the job support scheme is really going to do anything about it. But what's really important is that the job support scheme is, you know, while it tries to help companies retain, you know, Singaporeans in their jobs, we know what it also does really is to ensure that when you look at the overall jobs package, you know, to ensure that Singaporeans can transition, you know, on even if they were to lose their job, you know. But there is, of course, no guarantee. You know, it requires that mindset shift, you know, to do something different, to learn a new skill. Hopefully, you know, this pandemic, you know, will impress, you know, this particular trait, you know, even more strongly in Singaporeans.
Well, speaking of new skills, CEOs and CTOs everywhere have been trying to push the digitization option, but it's taken this pandemic to be the catalyst for 5 years of consumer and business digital adoption in just 8 weeks, right? You know, it's incredible. How does the Fortitude budget complement and accelerate this digitization move?
I think, you know, the message about going digital is something which has always been pressed upon us, you know. But I suppose, you know, it takes a catastrophe like the current pandemic compel this digital adoption. And I think we all have experienced it, right? In different ways, you know, we are all now forced to, in a way, go online, do more things online, work from home. And so I think when you look at the money that's been set aside, you know, to accelerate this digital transformation, I mean, you know, so the pain points are clear, right? Companies which have not sufficiently gone digital, they are feeling the effects. And so this is a good time for companies, you know, to do what they can, to see how digital technology can help them, you know. So whether it is in terms of taking orders online, e-payment, I think that's a whole move. And so I think, you know, the budget certainly complements and hopefully it will accelerate digital transformation. But I think every business has to see what it can do, you know, to leverage on technology to help them grow their business.
We're speaking with Eugene Tan, Associate Professor of Law at Singapore Management University. E-payments at hawker centres, that's something we'll get to in just a while. But Prof, briefly I wanted to touch on this. The topic of landlord support came up again. And from yesterday, we understand there's going to be some kind of a legislation that will be passed soon with regard to rental waiver for some tenants. Any idea what we are expecting from this latest bill?
You know, Elliot, this issue of, you know, rentals and whether landlords are passing on, you know, the rebates that the government has provided quickly enough, you know, is something which the earlier COVID-19 Temporary Measures Act dealt with. But I think here they're looking at a second tranche of support, and here is where the government is also coming in. They're working with landlords. And I think, again, the same thing, right? The idea of making sure that the benefits get to the intended beneficiary, the tenants, quickly enough. But it still doesn't deal with, you know, the big question of whether leases are fair or unfair to tenants. I suppose that's a separate issue altogether. But I think it's important that businesses are helped in terms of their costs. And in land-scarce Singapore, we all know that rentals are a big part of the cost of doing business. And it is, again, a bit unfortunate that we need legislation.
Yeah, Professor Tan, that was my thought exactly. And speaking of spaces, and we know that F&B in particular has been hit by this rental issue, but also office spaces where companies might even begin to decide to downsize spaces because we've proven that we can work from home, right?
I'm not sure about that. I certainly hope that we don't have to work from home for the rest of our lives.
That's because you have kids, right?
I think, you know, yes, I think Manisha makes a very good point. We know that businesses are now going to reassess their office space requirements, and this is going to perhaps can change, you know, for landlords, you know, given that businesses require less space. I think in the end, you know, this is where, again, you know, all the different stakeholders will have to work together. And if landlords continue to persist, you know, in their demands for unreasonable rents, you know, then I think, you know, businesses will say, well, you know, we are trying to develop a different model altogether.
Prof, FAB sector is one of the hardest hit here in Singapore. And yesterday we had news that stallholders in hawker centres, wet markets, coffee shops, industrial canteens, they'll all be receiving a bonus of $300 per month over 5 months. And the idea is to encourage them to use e-payments and avoid, you know, touching physical cash. In terms of as a game changer, is this an enough encouragement to see a larger pickup of digital transformation in this, you know, what we would call traditional establishments?
It's more of a nudge. I don't see it as a game changer.
Okay.
It's really more of a nudge, right? You know, to get, you know, stallholders in hawker centres, wet markets and the like to use e-payments, you know. I see it more as, you know, trying to educate them into what e-technology can do, how digital technology, you know, can help them promote their business, can make help them make payments, take orders, perhaps even, you know, source for the items that they need to run their business. So I think it's really trying to create that mindset shift that even as a sort of a traditional business, there are ways in which technology can be relied upon, you know, to help the business to make things a lot more efficient, but certainly also to operate, you know, even when the real world sort of transactions cannot take place. Because, for example, like in COVID-19, you know, that your business can still continue because you have, you know, this e-platform. So to me, it's really trying to get the stallholders to see, you know, the virtual world as not just a supplementary way of doing business, but really as a complement, you know, to the usual way of doing business.
We're speaking to Eugene Tan, Associate Professor of Law at Singapore Management University, and we're just slicing and dicing the Fortitude budget that was announced yesterday afternoon. So I wanted to talk about whether or not we think there might even be a fifth budget this year, because this is number four on the list. We know that 75% of businesses are to be reopened by July, but aviation and tourism, these sectors, they might not see a recovery anytime soon. So there are still aspects of the economy that aren't yet covered.
Yes. So I think if a fifth budget is necessary, I think, you know, the government has already, you know, indicated, you know, that it is prepared to develop one. President Halimah Yacob has also indicated that, you know, this is an unprecedented challenge, you know, to Singapore. And she's prepared to, with her Council of Presidential Advisors, to look at the proposals very closely. But your point about aviation tourism, yes, I think, you know, by current indicators, these are two sectors that will probably recover the slowest, you know, because we're not going to recover for a while. But the import for us, it's not just about tourism and aviation as a business. You know, it's also the significance for us being an air hub, the importance of connectivity and logistics in terms of our supply lines. So I think it is important, you know, that even as, you know, the sectors are down, you know, these sectors are still able to maintain, you know, their core capabilities, you know, their critical personnel. And we mustn't forget, you know, that in the Fortitude budget, also $13 billion set aside in the contingency fund, you know, and so even if we don't have a budget, the government would be able to draw from this contingency fund as well to enable us to respond quickly, you know, to the ever-evolving situation.
Yeah, even the budgets that are being announced are sort of being developed and tweaked along the way. Now we have a contingency plan, so maybe no fifth budget. But Prof, just two more points to get your quick thoughts on. First one being the measures announced to support charities and social services, such as the government matching charity donations dollar for dollar. Any thoughts on that?
I think that that's important, right? This is also a time for Singaporeans to come together. And I think this support, you know, is timely, although it should have come sooner, right? Because we know that the pandemic, you know, the loss of jobs, you know, will have psychosocial impact on people. But better late than never. And I think, you know, the incentives for people to contribute, to help a fellow Singaporean, a fellow human being, I think that's something which will ensure that everyone, you know, will have access to help, and that those who will receive more. So I think that's certainly a timely boost.
Eugene Tan, Associate Professor of Law, Singapore Management University, on the line with us this morning. Prof, thank you so much for your time. You take care and stay safe, yeah?
You too. Thank you very much.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.